Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. I want to speak this morning on the subject of life is hard. Life is hard. No matter which life you choose, it's hard. I remember used to go to these youth rallies when I was a teenager down at the Buffalo Christian Center. Used to have some great youth rallies, and I went to see a man who was very high up in the mafia one time. Spent a great deal of his life in prison. And he had gotten out, and somehow his life, he ended up coming to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he became a great testimony for the Lord. He did horrible things in his life, but the Lord had mercy on him and saved him. I remember what he said. He said when he was marked, they were marching him into prison, and he went to prison for years and years and years above the prison. I don't know which one it was. As they marched him in the door in granite, chiseled into granite, above the doorway going in were the words, "The way of transgressors is hard," from Proverbs 13 and verse 15. And I remember by the time he got done preaching that night, I said, "Man, I don't ever want to go in there. I want to live a life of being a good Christian, a good citizen, stay out of trouble, stay out of prison. The way of transgressors is hard. Life is hard." I want to give you 3 points on that subject here this morning. I hope it'll help you to make a right choice today. My first point is this: the way of sinners is hard. The way of sinners is hard. This word transgressors is a synonym for sinners. We're taught in the book of 1 John that sin is the transgression of the law. When the Bible defines what sin is, it says sin is the transgression of the law. The word transgression simply means to break the law. When God says, "Thou shalt not steal," and somebody breaks that law, they have transgressed or they have sinned. So transgressors and sinners are synonyms. Verse 2 says, "The soul of transgressors shall eat violence." It's not a good life. It's a hard life. The way of transgressors is hard. The way of sinners is hard. There's a law that governs human behavior, found in Galatians 6 and verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." There's always a time of reaping after the sowing. The person who chooses to live a life of sin will ultimately reap a harvest. Consequences, we call it, for the life of sin that they have chosen. And it's not very pretty. One of the problems in life is that we often see teenagers and those in their 20s living in sin, and it seems during that season like they're getting away from it, like they're getting away with it, rather. But the problem is their harvest just has not come in yet. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes that though a sinner sin 100 times and he seems to get away with it, yet shall it be well with the righteous. Not with them, but it will be well with the righteous. Because eventually harvest time comes. We were out in New Mexico, and the old-time preacher there, he'd been preaching for about 40 years, and he preached sermon outline that now it slipped my mind, but sin will take you farther than you want to go and cost you more than you want to pay and keep you longer than you want to stay. The way of transgressors, the way of sinners is hard. I've been noticing around town, especially at the airport, I've been noticing some very, very grotesque looking posters that somebody's putting up on the effects of tobacco and the effects that they wreak upon the human body. And it made me think of Proverbs 13, 15, "The way of transgressors is hard." Those of you that are struggling with tobacco, I want to encourage you to get the strength you need from the Lord Jesus Christ to give you the victory over that. I've recently had about three situations in the last month where I've crossed paths with people who are suffering health problems because of their involvement with alcohol. And some of them are very young, in their 30s and 40s, and we're not quite sure if they're going to make it. We're praying for mercy. We're praying for a miracle to their bodies. But the booze has taken a tremendous toll upon their bodies. They could handle it in their teens and their 20s, but boy, I'll tell you what, after a little while, stuff takes its toll. The body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We can't do whatever we want to with it. Our Lord said, if any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We think of a lot of people nowadays having sex outside of marriage as though there's no consequences to it. But as you travel around Western New York, you'll see an organization that's put up billboards with the statistic that one out of every two adults in America by the age of 25 has a sexually transmitted disease in their body. Now, Hollywood will never tell you that. And the magazines and the glamour magazines and the romance novels will never tell you that. But somebody's gotten the backbone to put some billboards up around town to tell you that. There's all kinds of consequences for a life of fornication, not only besides disease, there's unwanted pregnancies, there's disappointments, there's shame, there's garnished wages. I know many young men today who have their wages garnished. I was talking with a lady this week about her daughter and how a young man got her daughter pregnant, and she lives in a distant town, and I asked her, I said, is this young man paying child support? And she said, oh yeah, he's got to pay child support for the next 18 years. And every single week, money is taken out of his paycheck for those few minutes of pleasure that he thought he could enjoy. The way of transgressors is hard. It's hard. A person can gamble. They've got the freedom to do that and the opportunities now in America and New York State. But the way of transgressors is hard. A person can just have a simple sin like selfishness, and yet that will lead to family problems for them and problems for them getting along with anybody because they're selfish. Covetousness is a sin. And the way of transgressors, the way of sinners is hard. Covetousness often leads to a heartless life enslaved to money and the things of this world and never being happy or fulfilled and suffering emptiness and causing all kinds of problems in a person's life to debt and even family problems. Usually money is at the root of almost every marriage problem that I've ever counseled with, the misuse of money. There are a lot of people today who use drugs, many illegal drugs. I know there has been an upsurge in the use of heroin in the Buffalo area that people have become concerned about besides the other drugs. And these drugs are leading many people into health problems, mental problems, demonic oppression, demonic possession, and into a hard life. Not only the illegal drugs, but sometimes there have become addictions to legal drugs. I met an evangelist once who lost his mind for a season in his life because of a car accident he had where he ended up on legal pain medications that he became addicted to. And he had to find through Jesus Christ the strength to overcome and to live in a pain management type of a lifestyle through Jesus Christ to overcome that and to get out. of that. He almost, his precious wife stuck with him. Thank God for her. Rock and roll music is leading many into depression. It is leading people into a dysfunctional relationship with their parents and rebellion, as well as many of the other ungodly media outlets that are out there. Some of these movies are just diabolical, and television shows and video games and so on. They're diabolical. They are satanic. And it is causing young people to become rebellious towards their parents, towards any form of authority, and leading them out into the world and into a life of hardship. The way of sinners is hard, the Bible says. It's hard. Now, I know when you're in the process of sowing the seeds of your sin in your youth, the harvest doesn't come in then. It comes in later. And so it seems like you're getting away with it. But you young people and you teenagers that are here in the room, remember God has said in his word, the way of transgressors is hard. You young girls and you young men, it would be easier for you. It's still going to be hard, but it would be easier for you not to date than to avoid the emotional hardships you're going to have from breaking up, from being rejected by boyfriends, rejected by girlfriends, or from the physical sins that the social infidelity of dating leads to an emotional infidelity where you become attached to somebody who's not your husband, not your wife. And then that emotional infidelity, the next step is to lead to physical infidelity, which is fornication, and that can lead to a life-altering experience of complexity that you may never get to unwind. The way of transgressors is hard. It's hard. And you ought to avoid it. There are adults in this room today that could testify and would love to testify and would love to share with you. Not that they love what they did, but they would love to try to help you. There are adults today in this room in their 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s that are still bearing the consequences of the sins of their youth. And they would love to see you walk in wisdom and avoid those sins of youth and not have to bear the burden that they bear. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, and I want to say, second of all, number two, the way of soldiers is hard. The way of soldiers is hard. You say, well, I want to do right then. I don't want to be a sinner. The way of sinners is hard. Well, number two, the way of soldiers is hard. Life is hard. Life is hard. No matter which life you choose, it's going to be hard. But praise the Lord, this one's rewarding. It says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Jesus Christ has chosen us to be soldiers. Every person in his family is a soldier, men or women alike. He has chosen us to be soldiers. We ought to try to be good soldiers, as it says in verse 3. But to do that, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The way of sinners is hard, and number two, the way of soldiers is hard. We have an illustration of this in our day and age. Since 2003, Operation Iraqi Freedom has been a war that our country has been involved in for the last 7 years. We just passed that anniversary 2 days ago. It started March 19th, 2003, for 7 years. And we have an illustration laid out before us of the hardness of being a soldier. our soldiers over there in Iraq, and I don't really care that much about what the media says. I think they've done a good job. Amen. And I thank God for them serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, and some are in Saudi Arabia and other places of the world right now. I think they've done a good job. And they've gotten the job done, and it's been a difficult war. It's been a hard war. They don't even know who they're fighting. This is the only war our soldiers have ever been in where the enemy was not wearing uniforms. And they're hiding behind children. They're hiding behind women. And we gotta fight by certain laws. Did you know, for instance, if a man is shooting out of a building at one of our soldiers and he lays his weapon down and walks out of the building, we are not allowed to retaliate against him? Man, I'll tell you what, I'm probably glad I'm not a soldier right about now. They probably put me in jail. I don't know. But they're over there, and some of them have been there for one tour of 12 months. Some have been two tours. Some have been for three tours. And brethren, there's literally seasons where it's 120 degrees. And they're not out there in shorts and tank tops underneath umbrellas sipping iced tea. They're in their uniforms. They're carrying between 50 to 70 pounds of equipment. Just some of you have worn a helmet before that you were in the Army. That thing can go 8 to 10 pounds. They've got their weapons. They've got their belts. They've got their backpacks. And they're over there getting the job done. And it's hard. And they've got to endure this hardness. Some of them have been killed. Some of them have been wounded. Some of them have snapped mentally, and they need our help. And they need our prayers. But it's an illustration laid out for us of the hardness of being a soldier. There is a militant side to God. Thank God for his side of love. We sang about that earlier, and his side of holiness. But there's also a militant side about God. He's a God of battles. The Lord is his name. It says the Lord is a man of war, Exodus 15 and verse 3. Every single citizen of Israel is a soldier. Every citizen in Israel has to be a soldier for a minimum of 2 years, men and women. And that's how it was in the Bible. All of Israel's men were all soldiers. David had about 1.6 million men who followed him, all armed. They were soldiers first, citizens second. And this is a picture God's trying. Every single one of you that has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, men and women, you are soldiers. The old time hymn writers captured this. I don't see this in the hymns of today anymore. But the old-time hymn writers knew this biblical truth. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. And they used to capture that, and we're not getting songs like that written anymore for the church. But we are soldiers. The Lord has chosen us to be a soldier, and we should try to please him, that we may please him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. It ought to be our goal that every one of us leaves this life someday and receives an honorable discharge from the Lord. Every man, every woman. Well, you think of some of the militant women of the Old Testament, the Esthers and the Jaels, and the Deborahs, and how God used them in military campaigns and in battles. We need some ladies that'll fight for their families and fight for their children and fight for righteousness. And we need to fight against all this compromise going on and all these false Bibles that are being published and all this modernism and worldliness And there are just so many things that we're fighting against. We need to be soldiers, and it's hard. It's hard to be a soldier. It's hard. When hardness hits your marriage, you need to endure. It says here that that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When hardness hits your family, you need to endure. When hardness hits your pocketbook, and I don't know what's going to happen in Washington this afternoon, but I sure hope you're praying about it. But it just looks like things might get a lot harder for us in the financial realm. I don't know. When hardness hits your health, you need to endure. When hardness hits your church, you need to endure. When hardness hits your job, you need to endure. We can't be of that group that drops out and becomes bitter and disillusioned and I quit because things got hard. When somebody told you when you got saved, everything's going to work out great and fine and dandy for you, they didn't tell you the truth. They may have meant well. Boy, when you got saved, you also got a big bullseye plastered right on your back. And you have an adversary, the devil. And he doesn't like you because you're made in the image of God. You came out of the womb that way, male and female created he in his image. But also after you received Christ as your Savior, you became a worse enemy. But you know, there's so many benefits and blessings to endurance. Endurance brings happiness. In James 5 and verse 11, it says, we count them happy that endure. And then it goes on to tell the story about Job. Don't quit. Endure hardness. Endure the difficult things. I know you're going through difficult things, some of you, and I've been talking to a lot of you lately about the difficult things, but endure hardness. Don't give up. Don't quit when you face hardness. Because if you'll get through it, endurance produces happiness. Did you ever see a bunch of men jumping all over themselves on top in the middle of a football field at the end of a Super Bowl? You know why they're doing that? Because they're happy. Did you ever see a whole bunch of guys on a ice rink throwing their gloves all around and sticks all around and jumping all over each other and piling on each other in the middle of an ice rink? You know why they're doing that? Because they're happy. They just won the Stanley Cup. Did you ever see a bunch of baseball players run out to the pitcher's mound and almost kill the guy and jump on top of him and they're all there and you know, whatever, hugging each other, kissing each other, rolling around like kids. You know why? Because they're happy. Soccer players, Olympians, and so on. You ever see that? You know why they're happy? But you know what contributed to their happiness? They endured a lot of hardness to get to that point. They endured a lot of hardness to get to that point. Can you imagine? This is a facetious illustration. But can you imagine if they decide to do away with all that? And they say, you know, baseball's going to start here pretty soon, but we're not going to run the season. No games. We're just going to flip a coin, see who's going to win this year. So they flip a coin. They keep flipping coins and start eliminating all these teams. They never play a game. And finally they say, I don't know, Baltimore Orioles. All right, you're our winners this year. You think they're going to be happy? No, because they never paid a price to earn that. They never endured hardness. They never endured injuries and all the exercise and all the discipline and all the traveling and all that goes into it and so on and so forth. It is the hardness. It is the hardness of life that is endured that produces happiness. You know, Jesus, you probably won't want to hear this one, but Jesus even indicated that that's one of the reasons why the Lord planned so much pain in the birth process for a mother. So when it's all over with, she has joy that a child is born. Can you imagine painless birth? I think a mother's soul is literally just bound to that child, in most cases, not all, but is bound to that child through the enduring of the pregnancy and the sickness and the pain and the labor for hours and hours and hours or whatever it might be, and bringing that child into the world through such a means. And then she has joy when it's all over with, like nothing happened. Hardness brings strength and beauty. Not only does it bring happiness, it brings strength and beauty. All of your semi-precious stones are precious stones that God has given us in his creation are produced by hardness. They're produced by pressure. They're strong. They are beautiful. But it is the enduring of hardness that produces these precious stones. This is a black diamond right here. It's one of the hardest stones known to mankind. It's also one of the cheapest. That's why I have one. It's a beautiful ring. It costs $24. You don't get many diamonds that way. But man, you can hit this thing as hard as you want to on anything, and you're not going to scratch it. But that diamond right there was just a cheap piece of coal one time that endured hardness. It became a beautiful stone. You know, a monarch butterfly has just baffled scientists. They get their strength and their beauty from the struggle to be released from the chrysalis, or the cocoon. In fact, if you should happen upon one that was struggling to be free and you assisted it, you would either kill the monarch butterfly or you would rob it of its strength and its beauty. Scientists do not understand it, but it gets its color, its brilliant colors, from the struggle to be free. And do you ever follow the pattern of a monarch butterfly? Do you ever hear about how far they can fly? And we're baffled on where they get the energy from. They get their strength and their beauty from the hardness they endure. And God has given us these illustrations in creation to apply to our own character. You know, the person who endures hardness, God makes them into a beautiful person. If they don't get swallowed up in bitterness and complaining and quitting and so on, and they say, I give up, God's not good in making me go. But if they'll just follow through, if they'll walk with God through that thing, I don't have time to preach this right here, but I was looking up in the Bible some of the things that enduring hardness produces in the character of a believer, and they include things like understanding, compassion, sympathy, patience, faith, kindness. These beautiful graces, these beautiful ornaments can be seen in a person's life. A person who has endured hardness often will have more understanding than somebody who's lived a life of ease for somebody else who's having a hard time. And that makes them beautiful. They'll have more compassion. They'll have more sympathy. They'll have more patience. And so God brings us into times of hardness, not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of those we'll be ministering to. Patience is enduring faith. That's what patience is, enduring faith. And that comes only through a life of hardness and faith and kindness. The most beautiful people I've ever seen are the Christians who will trust the Lord when hardness comes and learn the lessons God wants to show them through that time, and they become more beautiful. You know, it's usually the people who've lived lives of ease that are the ugliest. Sometimes those that have had the most, they have the ugliest personalities. But some people who've had the hardest struggles are the ones who've become the most beautiful in their character and their concern and their care for other people. So it says endure hardness. Endurance brings good things. Endurance brings happiness. Endurance brings strength and beauty. Endurance ultimately brings a crown of life. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We should endure hardness not only to have an honorable discharge, but to have a crown of life someday in heaven. I don't know what it is. I think it's literal. I think there's literally going to be some people in heaven walking around with crowns on their heads. And you'll be able to identify by the crown what they went through. And you'll be able to point out people in heaven who have crowns on their heads and say, he or she went through hardness. They didn't quit. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They hung on by faith. They didn't give up. The way of the soldier is hard. The way of the soldier is hard. Life is hard. So whichever life you choose, it's going to be hard. The life of a sinner is hard. The life of a soldier is hard. Let's just come to that conclusion this morning. Life is hard. It's hard for everybody. You're not unique. Now, your hardships might be different than mine, but we all have hardships. Life is hard. But I want to make this third point as we close here this morning. Number three, the soldier has the help of the Savior in bearing his burden. The soldier has the help of the Savior in bearing his burden. The sinner's on his own. The sinner's on her own. Yeah, it's a hard life. It's not going to be easy. Sometimes people get married and say, well, that's going to fix it. Well, now I'm saved. That's going to, no. Sometimes things you take on in your life make things harder. But number three, the soldier has the help of the Savior in bearing his burdens. The sinner's on his own. Isn't that great? If you say, okay, I'm going to, you know, and by the way, can I give you, all of us as human beings, just quit sinning. You know, four times in the Bible it says, sin not. It says, quit sinning. Because there's consequences to those choices. Just quit sinning. You know, you might get away with it now, but man, there's a harvest coming. Yikes. So it just wise. Can we quit sin? I guess we can. The Bible says so. Stand in awe and sin not, the psalmist said. In Psalm 4 and verse 4. Awake to righteousness and sin not, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:34. Be angry and sin not, he said to Ephesians 4. Verse 26. John said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. But I'm saying this idea of just constantly living in sin is something a Christian can forsake and walk away from. And say, I choose to be a soldier. I know it's going to be hard over here. I got to fight. But I choose to be a soldier. The Savior comes alongside the soldier and says, let me help you. Let me help you. Psalm 55, 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Now, let me tell you one of the secrets of life. One of the secrets of life is not to get others to pray for you. And people do that, and that's second best. Okay, that's second best. To go up to somebody and say, would you pray for me? We're having trouble in my marriage right now. Would you pray for me? I'm having trouble financially right now. Would you pray for me? I'm having health problems right now. Would you pray for me? I'm having family problems right now. Would you pray for me? I'm having employment problems. That's second best. Go ahead and do that. Ask people to pray for you. But you know what the best thing is? Take those things you've shared with others and cast it on the Lord. He'll sustain me. Say, dear God, I need your help. My marriage, you got to carry me through this. I need some help, Lord. I need a job. Or I got some health problems here, and they're bigger than me, and they're bigger than the doctors, and I got to have your help. Maybe some of you are going through some mental problems. I understand that's a very real thing for some people. I understand that. I'm not trying to make light of it, but did you ever just take that thing and cast it on the Lord? Cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. There's five animals that portray Jesus Christ in typology in the book of Leviticus as a sacrifice. A lamb, a goat, a pigeon, a dove, and a bullock. As you study those out, every one of them paints a wonderful picture of our Lord and what he wants to do for you. And that bullock is a burden bearer. Bull. You know what we're talking about here? Oxen. Burden bearer. When they used to slay them bulls, that was a picture looking forward to Jesus Christ, the one who wants to help bear your burden. I'm an old farmer. Some of you are farmers. We didn't have bulls, but we'd have a tractor come up with a trailer, and we'd be way back half a mile away from the barn, and you have a bushel of acorn squash, brother. You got something in your hands. That thing's heavy. You got a tractor and a trailer come up next to you. What do you think the wise thing to do would be? Just take that bushel and put it on the trailer. Well, they didn't have tractors in Bible times. They had bullocks and carts. And that thing come pulling up and you had a burden, you just take that thing and put it on that cart. Lightens your load. In closing, turn to Matthew 11, then we'll have prayer. Matthew 11. You know these verses. It'd be good to read them tonight or today and remind us this wonderful Jesus. Don't just come to him for salvation. There's so much more he wants to do for you. Come to him for salvation. If you need to be saved, you can't save yourself. You can't, no matter how hard you try. No matter how good you've been, it's not good enough. Jesus can save you from your sins. But keep coming to him after you're saved. Look at verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that are what? Labor and are heavy laden. All ye. What an invitation. All ye. There's no respecter of persons with God. There's no preferential treatment. He doesn't love men more than women or women more than men. He doesn't love white people more than black people or black people more than... No, he says, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Life is hard. Life is hard for the sinner. Life is hard for the soldier. But the sinner's on his own. You're on your own. You want a drink? Go ahead. You're on your own. Want to smoke? Go ahead. Want to gamble? Want to fornicate? Go ahead. Want to date? Want to fool around with all the boys in town? Go ahead. Boys want to fool around with all the girls in town? Go ahead. Want to use drugs? Go ahead. Go ahead, but you're on your own. When the harvest comes in, you carry it by yourself. You're on your own. Want to be a rebel? Want to rebel against God's authority in your life, your parents' authority? Go ahead. You got a free will. It's America. But the way of transgressors is hard. Remember, someone told you that once. The way of sinners is hard. You say, well, I want to get saved then. Then you're enlisted as a soldier of Jesus Christ, and there's battles to face, the world, the flesh, the devil, and all this modernism and formalism and isms and cults and false religion, you name it. Boy, do we have some battles. But the Lord has respect to soldiers. He says, I'll come along and help you. Let me help bear that burden for you. I'd like us to bow our heads in a word of prayer. Which life will you choose today? Which life will you choose? Some of